flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
As we march closer to the Super Bowl, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. This is a tough question. I don't think has an answer. And Pearl, you might have to almost recuse yourself from this conversation, but I'd love to get your thoughts on it nonetheless. Who's got the better Super Bowl fan base, the Chiefs or the Eagles?
Well, define better. Just give me a couple parameters.
Well, you define it how you want to define it.
Well, I mean, the Chiefs fan base is awesome. There's no doubt about it. They are one of the most loyal, longtime fan bases. They know football. The Eagles fan base is there are 31 fan bases, and then there's the Eagles fan base. They're a different entity. They can't be measured against other fan bases. A, they're the most knowledgeable fan base. B, they're the most aggressive.
I mean, says you.
Oh, I mean, they call in the WIP, and honestly, they would put Ben Johnson to shame. The X's O knowledge on Philadelphia, it's not even close. I mean, I live here in New York. Like, the depth of knowledge about, like, X's and O's in Philadelphia, just to even get on WIP, you have to basically know how to run a West Coast offense. I am not – that is unquestionable.
All right. I mean, it's still your opinion.
But I would say
– It is questionable.
There's other people saying, like, whoa, the Eagles family, like, because it's such a one-sport town, like, there's nothing but football. Nobody really cares about the Sixers or the Phillies. There are some Flyers fans. It's very intense, the scrutiny on the Eagles.
Can you put that as a poll, EJ? Are the Eagles fan base the smartest fan base?
No, not the smartest. Are they the most football knowledgeable?
Football knowledgeable.
But, I think...
Does everyone know that?
I don't know if everyone knows that, but, like, I mean, you listen to WIP for an hour, and it's like, what is going on here? It's always like that.
I definitely ask myself what is going on here, it's not usually because I've listened to some amazing football takes.
They're just like, they talk about football way more in depth than most cities. It's just the way it is.
This is your word against, nobody's sitting around listening to every sports talk radio show all through the country, but let's not get mired down in the details. Okay, so you think that because the Eagles fan base is football X's and O's knowledgeable.
And incredibly loyal and incredibly invested, yeah.
But the Chiefs fan base is also incredibly loyal and incredibly invested.
The thing about the Chiefs fan base, it's a Midwestern fan base, so they're a lot nicer than the Eagles fan base.
Yeah, that could be a positive, you realize. Like,
no, I love the Chiefs fan base. That's why I didn't want to say immediately the Eagles. I think the Chiefs fan base is one of the great fan bases in NFL history. I have a really good friend who is a Chiefs fan, and man, he travels with the team. Yep. Like, he knows everything. But the one thing is they're just very different styles. The Eagles fan base is very aggressive and mean towards the opponent.
Yep.
The Chiefs fans are not like that. They just love their team.
Right, right. Okay. So if you were, let's say, you're wearing Dallas Cowboys gear walking into Eagles Stadium, you've got to expect that you are probably going to get harassed. Okay? Like, as harassed.
Right.
If you wore Raiders gear going into Arrowhead,
I would imagine you'd be okay.
Right. I think that gives the edge to Kansas City. I think that is a positive. There's a lot of things I like about the Philadelphia fan base. I sit next to you, obviously, every day. I recognize your passion. I have a lot of family members that are in part of the Eagles fan base, and they're great. I think the aggressiveness and the angst and the hatred towards other people, I don't see that as a positive. I see it as lame.
Mad.
You know, you guys don't care. But I see it that way. It feels like a little younger brother, something to prove, like overcompensating for something. Like, why do you have to be so mean?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's a point of pride. It goes back. It's not just about the Eagles. It's the whole city. In hockey, the Broad Street Bullies.
Sure,
like,
sure.
There in the 90s, Buddy Ryan came along. It's just like, we are going to beat you up.
Yeah.
And we're going to follow you into the parking lot. I think this was a Buddy Ryan. We're going to follow you into the parking lot and beat you up, too. Now, some of that got kind of ugly. But the dude put a bounty out on the opposing kicker. That is the coolest move of all time.
The most deranged.
Yeah, it was awesome. And Luis Andejas deserved it, to be honest. No, I'm just kidding.
he had it coming.
They were insane. It's always been over the top. They famously threw snowballs at Santa Claus. It's unique. And it becomes something. Yeah, does it cross the line at times? Yes, in a way that I don't like. Of course not.
Sure.
But I do think that there's a real sense of humor behind it, too. Like, they're kind of like trying to creatively be mean.
You think there's like a wink and a nod?
Oh, yeah.
Is everyone else aware of this wink?
Yeah, I think there is. I mean, like, this is... Have you ever seen the movie... It gets violent and terrible, like Silver Linings Playbook, when they have the big fight. But there's also just like, you know, there is something kind of cool about it. Like, it's a point of pride, and you don't think that they laugh at all this stuff. It's very, very funny.
Listen, I wouldn't have known it unless I've seen it close up, which is members of my extended family who have Ivy League degrees just getting into fistfights with Dallas Cowboys fans at these games. I'm like, you're an upstanding citizen. Like, you are, not that you have to go to an Ivy League school to be an upstanding citizen, you know what I mean. You have, like, clearly you're smart. You understand there could be consequences to this. Like, you're not blind to that. And they will fight a Dallas Cowboys fan and just, like, be in the jail under the stadium for a while, like, detained. Like,
yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, yeah.
You're like a regular, normal person. What?
Wait. They really, you go to that jail, you have to be really bad.
They didn't actually go to the jail, but they definitely got detained.
Yeah, yeah.
More than once.
Do you ever see Abbott Elementary? You guys ever seen that show, hot show on ABC?
Yep.
They had a crossover episode with It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia this season. It was really funny, but they all greet each other, the cast of the two shows, and they all say, hi, nice to meet you. Go Birds, go Birds, go Birds. It's the new handshake in Philadelphia.
It's so, like saying Roll Tide.
It's very much like Roll Tide. So I just think the identity of a city is so tight. Isn't that a positive that fans embrace this one team so much? I think you could argue, if you didn't hate the Eagles fan base, you would respect how much they love their team.
I don't respect the violence and the harassing people. But again, I think this does happen in all different places, but they feel like a couple bad apples. Like I'm saying, something happens when you put on that Kelly Green and you walk into that stadium, and I just said it, like people in my extended family who become totally different people.
It's mob mentality.
Right. Like, I don't know, and to be fair, I've been to Arrowhead. I've been there to do interviews with Len Dawson and Willie Lanier and Jan Stenerud, and they were fantastic. I've had a good time in Kansas City. We were there for the draft. I've never been to a game, though, so I can't say specifically about a game, but I don't think they're being intentionally rude to people like Philadelphia.
No,
prides itself on being. You
know? Nobody, yeah. Nobody's like that except Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, right. So I think that knocks them down a peg.
There's some other nasty fan bases, but... They wear that nastiness as a point of pride.
Totally.
Like, yeah, honestly, everything you say about them, like, they, Philadelphians, if you take that all as a compliment.
You're all hopped up on Cheese Whiz. 855-212-4227. Who's got the better fan base, Eagles or...
Would you rather be the Chargers where, you know, 75% of the crowd is wearing the other jersey? Like,
I think
is the worst kind of fan base where the team's not invested.
I feel bad about that because I think Charger fans actually were very supportive and rabid about the team, and the team basically did everything they could to push them away.
Yeah, I mean,
they didn't take care of their fans.
I think you can simultaneously be the best fan base and the worst fan base. But as far as invested, they're definitely in the top five in the NFL. I think Packers fans live and die with the team. I think Chiefs fans, Raiders fans.
Steelers.
I think there are certain fan bases that just are all about their team. I don't know if the Cowboys are like that anymore. Because the Cowboys fans, Jerry has been pointing out, like, I feel like they've lost a little interest. Like, they're not as intense anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure Brian Schottenheimer is going to bring them all back to the star.
And even Seattle, the ultimate Seattle fan base, there were reports this year that there are a lot of road jerseys in Seattle. So
that's kind of sad, too, because the 12th man was a real thing.
Time. Yeah. All time. And I'm sure it still is. A little bit of a playoff or, you know, a success drought there. I think if you're going to measure a fan base by loyalty and investment in the team, the Eagles cannot be beat.
855-212-4227. Literally a fan base that goes by the mafia, and yet the Eagles fan base are the ones that are more violent. Put that together. Okay, quickly, Jeff is in Tucson. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Megan. How are you?
Fantastic. What's going on?
So we're going to talk about, I'll weigh in on the fan base thing. The Eagles fan base is really aggressive, and Furlough brought up about the Santa throwing, so I remember that. Santa snowballs.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing I want to bring up is Furlough, I'm sorry, but I don't normally agree with you, and I apologize for doing this, Maggie, but I do agree with him about the marriage thing, and I'm going to share one story.
Okay, sorry. For the audience that's just joining us, Perloff thinks it would be beyond cool if Travis Kelce proposed to Taylor Swift if they win the Super Bowl. I think the rest of us on the show think it's kind of lame. Okay, Jeff, go ahead.
So I'm an older gentleman, and I remember the Jan Stenerud era.
Yep.
But I will say that the reason I feel that's a cool thing to see on national TV is because my wife and I were married on a riverboat in Laughlin, Nevada. So after the marriage ceremony, my wife turns around and, you know, the kiss the bride, everything happened. And my wife yells out, "Oh, I was married on a riverboat." And it was one of her dreams. So I just wanted to share that that was one of the coolest moments in my life, obviously, because I got married 48 years ago. And I just think that Perloff, it is the coolest thing to watch that. And that would bring in, Maggie, all the women fan base that do watch the Super Bowl. Don't you think that would increase afterwards?
You know, Jeff, it's a great point. And congrats, 48 years of marriage. That's fantastic.
That's awesome,
something
dude.
To be celebrated.
Awesome.
And your wife wanted the riverboat wedding and you gave it to her. And I love those kind of stories. That's great. The Swifties are going to be into it because they think Taylor's like this really hard luck in love kind of like she's kind of been the victim this whole time. And these guys keep doing these things to turn her off and break up with her and or whatever. And so she'll finally have found love. So I think the Swifties would be like into it. But I don't think women really want that.
I don't know. Maybe I don't know women as well. But I thought like the dream of every woman was to marry the high school quarterback and be sort of in his glow of football excellence. That's a direct shot. Yeah. And the feminist side of Maggie's like,
I can see it.
And by
it's,
the way,
it's one outcome.
Yeah. Believe me, there was a, yeah, you say it's not like that, but trust me, in high school, there was no girls who wanted to date the math nerds over the high school football quarterbacks. There is this thing about, it's interesting about Taylor reliving her high school years by dating
totally.
Travis.
She is absolutely living this out. It's one of her songs.
Yeah, it's very funny to me that she missed all that, but she was off touring the world as a recording star by at age 16, I believe. So now she's kind of reliving this. I wonder if she'll get tired of that.
Have you ever heard of a theory about fame where the person at the age you get, I don't know if this is true, but it's a theory. The age you get famous is kind of like the last age you stop. I don't say developing. That's pejorative. But that's sort of your age.
Yeah, there's a saying, a lot of people say the first time you find drugs or alcohol, boom, you stop maturing altogether there.
Oh, is that a thing too? Okay.
When you basically start partying at age 13, it's over.
That's a little young.
14, whatever. But yeah, I totally get that. It makes 100% sense because you're not in reality anymore. Poor guys like Justin Bieber, like they don't have a chance to grow up naturally.
Yeah, I think about this with athletes sometimes. We identify some of these athletes as being the next thing so young in their lives. Like, does it?
They've been having everything handed to them. They have no idea how to get through anything.
It's weird. But anyway, I think that maybe there's part of it where, yeah, she's still like living out this high school fantasy. No doubt. I think that's part of it. But I did come up with a better idea for Travis. Better idea. Now, you're dating a billionaire, so you're not going to outspend her. And trying to is probably going to look a little forced. You got to go sentimental, okay? And not the Super Bowl where everybody like smells like BO and you know, there's Gatorade all over the place. Taylor Swift, I believe I'm right about this, grew up on a Christmas tree farm. Am I right?
She has a song about it that I had to listen to over and over again over Christmas, so yes.
Rural Pennsylvania, Christmas tree farm. I mean, is this not already like a Hallmark kind of thing? You've got to like probably, I don't have like the details here, but I think it's got to happen at like her childhood home in the Christmas tree farm, something. Like that's got to be the venue, not the Superdome, which I don't think she has any connection to whatsoever, except for that her boyfriend is.
Christmas tree farm. Oh, that's so nice. This is a Hallmark movie, Maggie?
Yeah, it is.
It's so boring. Come on.
What is romantic about the Super Bowl, Perlo?
Everything. There's confetti. There's
chicken tenders and wings and
Gatorade.
Nachos.
Hell yeah. And actually, that would be even better. After she says yes, her friend, Blake Lively, pours Gatorade on her.
Just take whatever was left that Andy Reid didn't have soaked up in his Hawaiian shirt or whatever he's wearing under there.
You know, the tricky thing, though, is if in reality, and we're kind of having fun with this, if Travis Kelce did want to do it, what if they've lost? You can't do it after a loss.
Can't
that's
do it
bad.
After a loss.
That's bad mojo for the rest of your marriage.
Do it at a Christmas tree farm, then.
Yeah, exactly. You have to like, curate things a little more. You don't have Creed Humphrey farting in the background. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, what a stray at Creed Humphrey.
I'm just saying.
By the way, I don't know if there are a lot of people around, a lot of mics. I don't know if Creed Humphrey's going to let one rip in that particular moment. I mean, he is a center in the NFL. But
wouldn't a guy do it just to, like, you're talking about, like, practical jokes, and this could be kind of funny. You don't think one of his teammates would just want to go over there and be like, right on the proposal?
We've had 58 Super Bowls. I don't remember anybody farting on the field afterwards. They're like, okay, it's not like Will Compton of Barstool. Like Jim Nantz hands you the mic. Excuse me for a second. I just put it down there. No, that has not happened. Travis Kelce, though, probably would be the first to do it.
Hello, friends.
I could have picked anyone on the offensive
line. No, Creed Humphrey was the right name.
Maggie anti offensive line hate happened.
Well, I mean, listen, they're offensive linemen are, you know, they're cavemen.
I know, but Creed could be a gentleman. Like, he could be a nice guy.
Mike Caliendo.
You don't want your interior linemen to be gentlemen. You want them doing what Maggie said. You want them to be.
I was just thinking who would be more like Jason. And would Jason fart? He would.
Yeah, he would, because he's a crazy man.
855-212-4227. Super Bowl proposal. Best thing that Travis could do. Worst thing that he could do. By the way, they got to win the game.
By the way, after the Super Bowl, if I get down on the field, everyone's going to be following Mahomes and Kelce. I'm going to be following Creed Humphrey just to see what happens to report back to everybody.
At your own risk.
Not following. Maybe I'll be in front of him.
You're going to follow people around and just start farting everywhere.
Yeah.
See if they might pick it up.
You might want to be down. Don't be downwind.
That would be really funny. Leslie Nielsen, the comedic actor, used to famously bring a fart machine to all his interviews and stuff. If I just... you know, after the game, they have these little podiums where the guys do interviews. Yeah. I could just sort of sneak up there with my little tape recorder and put a fart machine and like Juju Smith-Schuster be like, yeah, and then I cut left and be amazing.
By the way, I challenge anybody, watch one of those Leslie Nielsen interviews, the late Leslie Nielsen, where he's at a late night show or whatever, and he starts farting and saying, excuse me. And try not to have tears just streaming down your face.
Yeah.
It's the height of comedy. But keep listening to our show for the next hour and 45 minutes. 855-212-4227 and then do it. Nick Costos is going to join us. We're going to run through all the Super Bowl props and all the betting angles for the big game. It's Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff show. Lot of talk about prop bets, Maggie. I read recently that maybe this is the history of betting. Prop bets have always been a thing for the Super Bowl, and now they're for every week, big across the country. But the level of prop bets for the Super Bowl are crazy right now. I've seen things that I couldn't even have imagined before, and I can't wait to throw away some money on them.
Well, let's not assume that it's getting thrown away. Let's welcome in our pal Nick Costos, the host of You Better You Bet. Nick, we're excited. We're going to be seeing you in New Orleans. This is all really, really fun. Good morning. How's it going?
Awesome. Great to be on with you guys. Can't wait to see you in New Orleans in a couple days.
I know. It's going to be fantastic. I have major prop bet questions for you. But before we get to that, just quickly, I think we'll probably make our pick for this game next week. We want full injury reports. We want full, you know, as close to the game as possible. But are you surprised that the line has stayed consistent at Chiefs favored by 1.5?
I'm not. And I do think it's a really, it's an interesting answer to the question because, you know, these two teams played a couple years ago, right, in Super Bowl 57. And Philly closed a 2.5-point favorite in that game 2 years ago. And I don't think there's any question that this Eagles team, and Perloff, you're an Eagles fan, like, curious if you agree. This Eagles team is better than that Eagles team that went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. I think this Eagles team is better. It's more talented, 1 through 53, like Hurts with a couple more years experience. And I think this, there's no question about this. The 2024 Chiefs are not as good as the 2022 Chiefs. And despite that, the Chiefs are now favored in the game and are probably, my guess is maybe this close as a pick 'em, but I don't think Philly is closing the favorite here. And obviously it's because of Mahomes, because we've now seen Mahomes win another two Super Bowls. And I think people are kind of scared by the boogeyman, Patrick Mahomes. So no, I'm not really surprised that the line has remained what it is. Like, Philly's probably honestly like a little better than Kansas City as a team, but Kansas City has Patrick Mahomes. Ergo, you get Kansas City as a favorite under three. I think this is where we'll remain until kickoff. Maybe the game closes a pick 'em, but I guess you could maybe see Philadelphia minus one, but we're basically talking the same bet here. Kansas City won to Philadelphia won.
Well, I think, remember the last Super Bowl, they'd come off, they looked so ferocious defensively against the Niners in that game where they knocked Brock Purdy
off. Ferocious. Like, Brock Purdy got hurt, and then Josh Johnson had to come in.
But the game before
that,
he
got knocked out.
And this is actually not a shot at your Giants, but, like, the defense was smoking hot coming into that Super Bowl. And it's
the Giants were
right
pathetic
now,
in that game. It was really bad. Yeah, the Eagles defense, this
pretty
is
hot
not a
right
criticism.
Now. But last that was a good defense.
Console.
It was old and slow. I didn't know it at the time, but that defense came in pretty optimistic. So I remember, I feel like this team, this particular team, is kind of untested after seeing the Commanders, the Rams on a snowy field, and the Packers with a beat-up Jordan Love. Even as an Eagles fan, I'm not quite sure. Like, I don't know how they match up against this is the best team they played in the playoffs by far.
I think their defense is awesome. I said it going into the playoffs. This is the best defense left standing in the NFL. The best defense in the NFL, period. And I think a lot of credit, Perloff, goes to Howie Roseman. I think he's the best GM in all of sports. The way he's able to reload every single year. This roster's a freaking Ferrari, dude. Like, it's sick. Like, it's sick. Like, they have awesome players. I think this defense is better than the one 2 years ago.
But they did have... They had prime Bradberry and prime Slay. Like, we didn't know Bradberry was terrible at the time.
Prime
He had a great year.
Quinyon Mitchell or Bradberry?
At the time, I mean, Bradberry proved a lot in the NFL. He was a really good player. We're just using...
Yeah, he was a good player. He was a good player with the Panthers, and he was okay with the Giants. He was okay with the Eagles.
And Slay a couple years ago was a force. But anyway, I hear you. Yeah. I think you're doing a little revisionist history because they got torched in that game by Mahomes.
But getting torched by Mahomes is like... They scored 35, they let up 38. Like, you're playing the great Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I wonder about it. Is Howie Roseman the best GM in sports? I think Brett Veach probably, even just in his own sport... Okay. The Kansas City Chiefs GM, because they get rid of anybody. They let Tyreek Hill go, L'Jarius Sneed go, and they don't miss a beep. Anyway, let's talk more betting stuff with you. Nick Costos here from You Better You Bet, and we've got fun stuff for you, too. We mentioned that the spread has not changed. That has stayed at 1.5, Chiefs favored. The total, though, has changed. It has come down. People betting the under, it seems like, pretty significantly, Nick. It's now sitting at 48.5. I believe it opened at 49.5.
Yeah, that's correct. I'm seeing a 49.5 right now at BetMGM. So I guess like depending, you know, if you like the under in the game, BetMGM's your home to make that bet. And moves like this do matter. And just like, and I'll summarize this very briefly. You know, over the course of a regular NFL week, like, limits don't go up until the end of the week. Like, what does that mean? It means like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, when you place a bet, you can only place X amount of dollars because sportsbooks are waiting like to find out what the actual line is of the game. Like, bettors tell them what the line should be. Injury reports come out. And then once the sportsbook feels like it has the right line for the game, limits skyrocket. And then you could bet, not that you would do this, you could bet like $1 million on the game if you wanted to, closer to kickoff. The Super Bowl, they're looking to get the right line up very quickly. So limits are very, very, very high immediately. So when there's a move, even early in the process, it's a meaningful one. Mm-hmm. Now, we are not at any key numbers yet, Maggie. So when we're talking about key numbers in the 40s with totals, and I'm this does not have to be a math thing. I'm literally just going to tell people this is what matters. These three numbers, 41, 44, and 47. So 49.5 to 48.5, like it matters. It means there's interest in the under, but like we're not down to a key number. We're like not down to 47. We're not even down to 48. So I would say that this is just some interest in the under. I would not describe it as like overwhelming interest in the under. I think a big move will be more likely to come like next Thursday, Friday, Saturday for the game next Sunday.
What do you think of the logic that this could be an overtime game? Because I think it's going to be a really, I think a lot of people think it's going to be a close game.
What do you think the logic is?
Well, I want to pick the over because I think it's going to, I think there's a great chance it goes to overtime. I really do. I don't know why I feel in my bones. Yeah, I think because because last year too, what was the final total last year? It was 25-22 was the final score.
Yeah, I'd have to, I don't remember.
But it was right around 47, 47 and a half. I just could picture somebody losing. I could picture Maggie losing a bet because it goes under and then it goes to overtime. Yeah. We were talking about that. Is that the worst way to lose a bet?
I've done it multiple times this season. But you have two overtime Super Bowls and 58 Super Bowls. Like,
yeah, but they're both recently, to be fair, both in the last decade.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, Perloff, you could probably just bet going to overtime, if you really think, as opposed to the over or anything like that. Just bet the game to go to overtime is going to be
that
your best
value. That will definitely be offered. You can definitely bet the game to go to overtime before it starts. And there were also, like, I bet on Sunday during the AFC Championship game. I lost, but I had a live bet on the game going to overtime in the second half, which lost, but it was like a pretty big plus money. I felt like it might. So you can bet this stuff during the game also. And obviously, like, please bet responsibly. Super Bowl MVP is another really, really fun market to bet live, like during the game.
Okay, wow. So tell us what the approach to that is. What, some guy has two interceptions and all of a sudden that's, you know, it has to be something super big, because normally I feel like it's the quarterback.
So it's really difficult to price live in the moment. And I can just give, just like, because, you know, like last year was really fun. It was like Mahomes ends up winning, but Mahomes didn't really like secure MVP until like the drive in overtime to win. And then there was no doubt he was going to win.
Of course.
When he threw the touchdown pass to Mecole Hardman. Like, if Kelce catches the pass at the end of regulation, Kelce probably wins. If the let's say that Kansas City doesn't send the game to overtime, you know who probably wins?
Brock?
Juwan Jennings.
Oh,
like Juwan Jennings.
Oh, yeah.
Super Bowl
he was
MVP.
Amazing.
So Jennings is having this beastly game, and you literally, like, I have the market up on my phone, and I'm betting it. And as this is happening, his price is getting slammed. Everyone's betting him in the moment. I had Harrison Butker tickets early in the game when Butker was banging. Not that he was going to win. Not that he was going to win. But, like, let's say George Karlaftis is, I'm making this up, 70-1, whatever. First drive of the game, strip sack hurts. He picks it up, takes it in for a touchdown. Why wouldn't you bet that? Like, live. And I'm not suggesting put your net worth on it, but like, bet it at 70-1. Other people are going to do the same thing. Like, now he can win. Not that he's going to. Like, Mahomes will probably still win if the Chiefs win. But I mean, like, once you get like that evidence, like something has happened where you can now create a case for this person winning, it becomes something that's, I think, like, extremely fun. And again, like, please gamble responsibly. Yeah. So you don't lose your shirt, but I had a ton of fun doing that last year during the Super Bowl.
I'm looking at the list of winners. There are a lot of non-quarterbacks. Cooper Kupp, Julian Edelman, Von Miller. So it does. Nick, you're looking at the odds. You have an early favorite of Dark Horse, somebody. I mean, obviously there's the live betting, but is there, how about Kelce, 18-1? Anybody who's jumping out is like somebody who might have a big game we might not have thought about?
Well, so I'll give you one for each team. I think if it's the Eagles, like A.J. Brown's number is 35-1. There's just, I'm not saying he's going to win. Like, Saquon's the most likely player if the Eagles win. But I think Kansas City's going to score in the game. And, like, the Eagles' defense is great. And that's not me talking out of both sides of my mouth. The Eagles' defense can be great. And then they're facing Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid with 2 weeks to prepare. So I think the Chiefs are going to score. I don't think this is going to be a game where Jalen Hurts throws for 120 yards. Like, that's not what this is going to be. Like, I would be shocked if the game stayed here, like this was Super Bowl 55 with like the Bucs and the Chiefs, when Tampa leaned on Kansas City's the offensive line the whole game and Mahomes kept getting put on his ass and the Chiefs were playing from behind the whole game. I don't think that's happening here. So if that's not going to happen and we're in like a neutral game state or the Chiefs are ahead, the Eagles are going to have to throw. Like, they're not going to be able to do this. Like, Jalen Hurts, like, put the straight jacket on him, as he said. That's not going to be what this is. And I think A.J. Brown's the receiver best equipped to succeed. He's 35-1 right now at BetMGM. Find the best price, but A.J. Brown would be my choice there. And Kansas City is obviously really tough if you get away from Mahomes. It's hard to imagine anyone on offense winning if it's not Mahomes. So honestly, I would look to a player on defense. And I think you could take a look at Karlaftis, but the guy that I would look at, and I'll just make sure I get his price here, he's 66-1 at BetMGM, would be Chris Jones.
Yeah.
Who? Chris Jones. Dexter Lawrence had 3 sacks against the Eagles this year. Interior. Pass rusher up the middle. We know that Juergens and Dickerson both had some injuries that they were dealing with in the NFC Championship game. So I think if a Chiefs defender were going to win, I think this would be like a great capstone on this great run that the Chiefs have had. If it culminates in a three-peat with Mahomes winning the first three MVPs and then like the best defensive player throughout the run winning the fourth. So again, like I think it's going to be Mahomes if the Chiefs win, but a longer shot for me would be Chris Jones.
Nick Costos joining us from You Better You Bet. He joins us every Friday. Okay, can we talk some prop bets with you? Are you betting? Let's go to some of your absolute faves. Like I'm looking at Jalen Hurts over 1.5 touchdowns is I think plus 500 or something. Like I love that. What about you, Nick? Give us the goods.
Yeah. I'll have my full prop menu like locked and loaded for next week.
Okay.
We're rolling out on the show next week, but you know, I can, how about this? So yesterday on the show in the NBC Sports Now hour on Peacock, Femi and I gave our one favorite yardage prop for the game and mine. And like, it's already gone up a yard from yesterday. So just an overall like prop betting philosophy for the Super Bowl. And like, if you're the type of person you want to bet like 10, 20 bucks, like whatever, it's like, who cares? But like, if you want to try and win, just think about this, right? AJ Brown's number yesterday was 68.5. Like it doesn't have to go over. I look at that number and I say, this is going to be 8 to 10 yards higher by the time the game kicks off. Cause right. Like what do people want to do? Like people generally want to bet overs. Like I like to bet overs. So the thought is always bet overs early with the Super Bowl and bet unders late. So like you could, if you wanted to, I'm not suggesting doing this. You could have bet AJ Brown when I gave it out on the show yesterday, 68.5 over receiving yards. I mean, what's this going to close? 75.5? Like there's no way the first number is a 6. There's no chance. And I think it might be like 75, 76 and you could middle it. I'm not saying do that. Like I just want to bet the over, but I think that you'll get a pretty wide discrepancy from now to next week. So the one that I really like, the one that I look at and I think there's no way this number is going to be this, is A.J. Brown. The number can't be a 6 in the Super Bowl. Not against Mahomes. I actually think it should be like high 70s, low 80s. It's 69.5 now. Nice. I'll go over A.J. Brown receiving yards. We can give the rest of the props out next week.
Okay.
You know,
the one thing is Devontae Smith actually had the most receiving yards last time these two met in the Super Bowl. He was...
Would you like to guess his number?
I didn't even look at it.
63.
48.
Betting it right now.
You never know what Devontae Smith's going to do from week to week. Hey, the one thing about the Chiefs offense, last week I tried to convince you that Noah Gray was going to go over 1.5 catches, and you were nice enough not to laugh at me. But Noah Gray, I watched the Chiefs last week. All of a sudden, they're throwing to Juju Smith-Schuster every down. Andy Reid is not giving away anything. He could go any of 10 different directions with this receiving core and these running backs. I find the Chiefs very unpredictable about prop bets and who's going to produce.
Well, I'll give you, I think it's a really interesting like setup for a question. I think I have a pretty good answer for it. So the one thing that I'll push back on Perloff is the idea that Reed is holding stuff back. And I don't know if that was the exact verbiage that you used, but something to that effect, right?
Well, no, just fair to say? Yeah, like he is not, basically he has all sorts of options that we don't even know about yet.
Well, my thought would be is that like you do that kind of stuff in like, you know, week 11 against the Browns, not like the AFC Championship game against the Bills. So I think we can look at what's happened in the first two playoff games and glean something from it. So there are two things specifically that I think have changed with the Chiefs offense. My expectation is that they will remain that way in the Super Bowl. Why would they change? I guess like they could, right? Number one is the expectation was Isaiah Pacheco was going to come back and retake the number one running back job from Kareem Hunt. That has not happened. I don't know if Pacheco's still hurt, because like we watched Pacheco last year and he was awesome, right? He doesn't look the same. So he's probably still dealing with like that broken leg that he suffered earlier in the year. Like Kareem Hunt objectively looks better and he gets the ball more. So not that Pacheco can't like outcarry Kareem Hunt. I don't want to paint anything as a certainty, but I think, you know, if you're betting, then I think the bet would be that Kareem Hunt's Kansas City's number one rusher.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, you mentioned Juju Smith-Schuster. Now, this one's a weird one, right? Because when the Chiefs traded for DeAndre Hopkins at the end of October, it's like, okay, well, Hopkins is obviously going to be a huge part of this offense. Like, he's not. Like, the wide receivers are Worthy, Hollywood Brown, and Juju is like the third receiver now. Mm-hmm. And Hopkins doesn't really play. And it feels like, based off things that he said, that he is okay with this minimized role because he's on a winner. And I don't know, like, Juju looked pretty good in the AFC Championship game. I mean, like, they could dust off DeAndre Hopkins and he could, like, end up having, like, a better-than-expected game, like, 4 for 50 or something, catching DeAndre Hopkins. But again, like, if you're betting on it, my bet would be Kareem Hunt is the number one running back. Juju plays over DeAndre Hopkins. Mm. So I don't want to say that they're hiding something for the Super Bowl because like they needed to beat Buffalo to get here. And I think we can take something from that result.
And you still like Xavier Worthy? You liked him a lot last week and he obviously went over on everything.
Yeah. So it's like the two guys that I rode throughout the playoffs and more so with Philly. So Worthy has been a guy that I like down the stretch of the regular season. He's at 54.5 right now. If I had to bet it, I'd probably bet the over. I don't know if I'm going to do that yet, but Perloff on your team, and I bet this guy all three games in the playoffs, and since he came off of IR in week 18 against the Giants, he has been an absolute monster, is Dallas Goedert. He's been great. Now, I was all excited yesterday because Femi and I, like I said, we're going to do in the Peacock Hour, which people can watch every day, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern. NBC Sports Hour, it's awesome. We're going to do our one favorite prop bet, and I'm thinking, you know what? Why am I going to get away from Dallas Goedert? He's been amazing. And his yardage prop is like 10 yards higher than it's been. So everybody knows now, like secrets out.
Yeah.
Not that he can't go over again, but like secrets out on Dallas Goedert now.
Nick Costos from You Better You Bet joins us every week. And yeah, you can watch on Peacock too. And it's fantastic. We love you. We love Femi. And we're excited that we're all going to be in New Orleans together. Last one for you, because Perloff's on an island here. What else is new? But he's on an island about Travis Kelce proposing to Taylor after the game if they win. Now, I'm assuming some offshore account is going to take a prop on this.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Is this the coolest wedding proposal or the corniest wedding proposal? By the way, you can vote on that poll at Maggie and Pearl on X.
Well, it's definitely the coolest, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you win the Super Bowl and you propose to like the most famous person in the world. I don't know. Like I choose not to be a hater here. And like the mini version of this, obviously, which is still very cool on a smaller scale, was when Ian Johnson of Boise State proposed to the cheerleader after they ran the Statue of Liberty play against Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl, which is pretty cool also. This is like that on steroids. I think people can hate Taylor Swift. You can hate the Chiefs. But I mean, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know if he'd retire, but you win the first team in history to three-peat, which makes them the best team ever, if that happens, period. And then you propose to the world's most famous musician. Pretty cool.
That's a good day.
I choose not to be a hater.
Mm. That's a good day.
Wow, you and Perloff, finally, through all these months.
What's the argument against it, though? Like,
so
why would that
corny.
Be corny?
By the way, Ian Johnson already did it, so now you're just doing a knockoff. You think when Taylor finds out that someone did this in the Fiesta Bowl a decade ago, that she's not going to be, like, upset about that?
But why is it not special anymore. Like, why is it corny?
Oh, come on. Like, it's not, first of all, it's not about her. It's all about him. Right? It should be about both of them. It should be about privacy.
I don't know if that's true.
Well, she doesn't care. She's not getting into barroom debates about whether the Chiefs are the greatest dynasty of all time.
You don't know that. She seems to be pretty into it. I think there's a chance that Taylor's got like a burner account on Twitter or something.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, like she's how many more times famous than him? A million times more famous than Travis Kelce? Yeah. You think it's gonna be about him like for us? For 99% of the rest of the world, it's going to be about her.
Nick, thank you. Always appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And safe travels to New Orleans. We'll see you there, pal.
All right. Yeah, you guys also. Wishing you guys minimal sweats winning bets. The absolute very best of luck. We'll have to get some beignets at Café Du Monde next week.
I know.
And please tell me you're not betting on the Pro Bowl.
I don't even know. So, like, it's... They had the skills competition last night. I was watching highlights. I didn't even know what was happening. So, yeah we're good.
Don't do that.
I had no idea.
Don't do that. Yeah. Nick, thank you so much. Nick Costos, You Better You Bet. You can listen and watch every single day, BetQL Network, and also on Peacock.
You know, the Swifties, they didn't even know who Travis Kelce was. They definitely don't know who Ian Johnson was. So they're not going to...
Once they find out, they're going to be devastated.
I mean, I don't even know that they would understand what that was all about. Statue of Liberty play? What's that?
Wait till they figure out Bronco Mendenhall. It's going to be... Yeah. It's going to destroy everything.
No, I think they're good.
Okay, we've got a lot more to do, including, guys, tough day in sports. lots of people being investigated here. Yeah, no bueno. Get to that next.
Well, college holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Okay, lots to do. Mentioned you got some players in the news here for all the wrong reasons. One is Justin Tucker, the kicker for the Ravens, who has some serious allegations against him by six different massage therapists in the Baltimore area who are accusing him of being inappropriate and saying that he was banned from two different businesses, high-end spas. He's been banned. Now, he's come out with a full defense of himself saying he was never banned. It's kind of like a he said at this point, no. The statute of limitations has run out on anything that could be criminal, Pearl, and it looks like even civilly, this could be a high bar to clear. This is stuff that happened early in his career, but the NFL could come down and they can levy any kind of discipline, even if there's no charges filed. So we got a long way to go on this thing, but right now they are just allegations and he's claiming innocence.
Well, it feels like the NFL has been cautious lately because I don't think they've moved on Rashee Rice yet because they're waiting for the legal process to play out. I imagine there's going to be some sort of lawsuit here because right now we don't have really anything under oath.
Right.
So I think the NFL is going to have some challenges here because they're not awesome at investigating on their own without help from the police.
No, and it's funny because it's all former law enforcement people who are doing this for the NFL, but it does it always seems like it can be a little clunky and a little haphazard.
I'm never comfortable with the idea of an employer doing like a quasi police investigation because like then I think the employees' rights is, that's why you have a union. The employees' rights would be vulnerable to management. Like if I wouldn't want management investigating like us.
Something
like,
in your personal life.
Yeah, because unless, you know, you would want the police to get involved. And that's why I think that a strong players union is important to have at least a balance here, but you never know, right? Like we know I've worked at the NFL and I know they brought in a lot of people, but still that is an uncomfortable place for them to levy. They always they never get this right, right? It's a really hard thing for them to do. Yeah. That's why I do like when they do the exempt list. They're like, we have no idea what to do here. We're just going to put Adrian Peterson on the exempt list and just wait it out a little bit.
Dexter Henry is here with other headlines. That's really one of the biggest ones from today, and we'll see what happens going forward. Good morning, Dex.
Good morning, guys. We are less than a week away from the NBA's trade deadline. Golden State Warriors, they currently sit at a game over 500. They're also 11th in the Western Conference. And there's been a lot of chatter about getting another star to play with Stephen Curry. The Warriors, they've been linked to several players such as Zach LaVine, Nikola Vucevic, and Jimmy Butler, an Andrew Perloff favorite. Uh-huh. However, according to Yahoo Sports' Kevin O'Connor, when it comes to Butler, Curry and Warriors head coach Steve Kerr, they're concerned with Butler's fit with the team. I wonder why.
Why would that be?
Guys, is Butler a good fit for the Warriors to upgrade their roster?
I like it.
Bad character guy? That's why you like it? Like,
no, I just think that...
Trying to keep the theme going. So.
Yeah, Pearl only wants people with red flags playing for his team. Now, to be fair about Jimmy Butler, all the red flag stuff is on the court.
No, type, I mean...
But like his relationship with the facility, with the team.
Dude's a killer. I mean, he's just a killer, and I think that's the right team for him because
killer of franchise.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's killing the Heat right now.
He's 35, right? Like he can't carry a team offensively like he used to. Man, I don't know. I love Jimmy in the playoffs. I have no problem with Jimmy Butler. The biggest thing the Sixers ever did wrong was choosing Tobias Harris over Jimmy Butler. It was
a
tragedy.
Here's the thing: look at Jimmy Butler's history, right? Like even if your Sixers had once upon a time picked him over Tobias Harris, he was gonna do something to get his way out of town eventually.
Well, you know, yeah, give me two trips to the finals would have been nice.
Well, I don't know if that was ever happening considering the state of Embiid's. And, you know, you just have to be ready with Jimmy Butler. It's probably going to end badly.
Yeah, so this is a no for you, Maggie?
I just don't know if the Warriors are they one Jimmy Butler away?
I mean, you're certainly closer with Jimmy Butler than without Jimmy Butler. I think, remember, like, yeah, I know they're not great now, but look at the Mavs last year at this point. Where were they? You know, were they barely above 500, I think.
They were like 6th, 7th in the West before they made a rise.
The one thing that I do love about teams is if like maximizing someone's career, right? So like Steph Curry is still a great player. Do you want to make sure you get every little last bit out of Steph Curry, and is this a way to do it?
Right, of course. Is that a rhetorical question? Why would you not want to get every last bit out of Steph Curry?
No, you do, but is Jimmy Butler the guy who's going to
And the other flip side of that is you mortgage your future, right? If you re-sign Jimmy Butler to an extension, now he's on a big contract at an advanced age. It's like,
which is
trying
what
to
he wants.
Get the squeeze out of a juice that there's nothing there. Like, they don't have a chance. That's the other side of that.
Oh, okay. So he definitely wants a...
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. That's one of the issues in Miami is that he wants an extension.
He wants another... Listen, why wouldn't he? Paul George just got a ton of money. He's 35 from your Sixers. Yeah, of course these guys think they continue to get paid. That contract was terrible the day it was signed.
Absolutely. There's also a basketball... I think there also is a... Beyond just personality, I think there's a basketball conversation about... Is Jimmy Butler a valuable piece when he's like your third option and he's a secondary guy? Because really, his best value has been when he's been the man. And we've seen where that gets you is to the finals, but you can't win. What is he if he's your secondary guy? Is he okay with that? Is he content with that? We don't really know.
I remember some games where the Sixers, you would not see him until the last 3 minutes of the game. And then he would just start running the floor harder than everybody. There, I don't know. I feel like the other thing, too, like the Warriors, you're saying Jimmy Butler's a malcontent. Like, everybody falls in the line on the Warriors because you have Curry there.
I mean, how's Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green working out in that locker room? That's interesting for me.
I mean... What's our shelf life? Can we give it 6 months?
Is this a 3-year project?
How about February to June? That's all you're getting.
I mean, when you're doing something like this, you've got to think real short term, right? Real short term.
Extremely short term. Dex, thanks so much. We'll hear from you again next hour. We have our biggest bold prediction for the Super Bowl that has to do with the X's and O's. The on-the-field product. We'll get to that next. Maggie Perloff.